Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, alongside Alan Flores, back to bring you another NFL Straight Cash Podcast, NFL Week 5 edition. We are back to break down every single game from the Sunday slate to Sunday night, the battle for West Texas, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Texans, all the way to Monday night. We got the Saints versus the Maroon Messiah and Adrian Peterson. Then we got to go with the Bay Area teams. We got the whole entire NFL slate coming to you right here on the Bay's Golden Days Podcast. I'm Marcus Boucher, alongside my man Alan Flores. Last week, it was an interesting week. We had some winners. We had some losers.
Got to say, this week is going to be a lot easier. I guess it's going to be a lot easier. We're going to be having some good old picks. We're going to have some good old fashioned spreads. I got some good angles to come in with this week. I hope they work this week.
Yeah, we got some good picks for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days, so let's not waste any more time. My man Randy Moss, go ahead, kick it off for us. What time is it?
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for Straight Cash, homie, right here on the Bay's Golden Days Podcast. We're here to break down every game from the NFL Week 5, and since it is the Bay's Golden Days Podcast, why not start off right here in the Bay Area? But you already know my Raiders pick, because my Raiders podcast came out this past Tuesday, so if you want the full entire breakdown for the Raiders going down to Los Angeles for a home game versus the Chargers, make sure you check out the Raiders recap and the Raiders preview this past week I put out on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So let me just go ahead and ask you, Alan, what's your pick? Raiders versus the Los Angeles Super Chokers?
You know, I got to say Raiders. They came out good. They came out real good. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, it's the Browns. Yeah, whatever. Well, you know what? The Raiders got a first win. Like Marcus said, there's a 2% chance for an 0-3 team to come back, and that's exactly what they did right now. And I just think the Chargers are going to choke as well. Rivers, he might have two tugs, I'm not going to lie. Your secondary is trash. I'm sorry, Marcus. Reggie Nelson just needs to be gone.
You don't got to tell me about Reggie Nelson. He is trash.
Of course. But Amari Cooper, Marshawn Lynch, Derek Carr, they all three looked really good this week, and I'm thinking I'm going to take the Raiders.
Take the Raiders. You're absolutely right. AC/DC was rocking this past weekend. Beast Mode was back in the silver and black, and I like the Raiders to win this game. Plus 5.5 points. I think they covered this spread because it's going to be a close game no matter what. Two high-power offenses going back and forth. The over-under is set at 53. I like the Raiders to put up a lot of points. And like you said, I don't got too much faith in the Raiders defense. You don't got too much faith in the Raiders defense. Hey, the Chargers defense isn't showing up at all this year. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game, and I like the over and the Raiders plus 5.5.
I definitely would take the over. That is definitely agreeable. That both is going to be a shootout. Rivers is going to be throwing that little flickery arm of his all the way to Keenan Allen and Antonio Gates' fat ass. So we will see a good prediction score. I'm going to say 38-27 Raiders.
Put it on the board and make sure you check out the Bay's Golden Days Raider recap for my official score for this week. But let's go ahead and keep it moving alongside in the Bay Area. CJ Beathard actually did pretty good last week against those same Chargers that the Raiders are playing. Ended up losing to them 29-27. So if the Niners could stick around, why the hell can't the Raiders beat them this weekend?
Exactly.
But we already moved on past the Raiders preview. The Niners are playing against the Cardinals this week. We'll have a home game in Santa Clara. They are favored by 4.5 points. And as I mentioned, CJ Beathard has taken over at quarterback since the injury of Jimmy Garoppolo. But that is not the only injury plaguing the 49ers this week. They have both their tackles messed up with knee injuries. That's Matt McGlinchey, their first overall pick. And then Joe Staley, the best offensive lineman. Hell, probably the best player on their team. He's got a knee injury too. So they're questionable to play going against Chandler Jones in that Arizona defense. Patrick Peterson still locked down. No Richard Sherman. Maybe no Marquise Goodwin. I think the 49ers are just too banged up. I don't know why they're the favorite in this game. Cardinals are one of my upsets of the week. I like the Cardinals in this game by 4.5 points.
Yeah, that definitely changed a lot. I did not know Joe Staley was out. I mean, that guy is an elite lineman.
Questionable,
but still, that's very scary. You know, who knows? And Breda is going down every game so far, so I don't understand what's going on. But I will take the Cardinals. I like Rosen to take this Niners defense out. I like David Johnson to get a couple tugs from this horrible rush defense.
Yeah, you know, Arizona with Josh Rosen taking over the helms from quarterback did decent last week against the Seahawks, lost 20-17. But I told you that stat. Rookie quarterbacks were 0-11 in their first ever game started. Baker Mayfield lost and Josh Rosen lost, so now it's up to 0-13. But I look for him to bounce back this week, get his first win of the season against the 49ers, and get this. The Arizona Cardinals against the spread, they are 6-0 when coming off back to back straight up losses since the start of 2016. So hey, let's take them in the points and let's take them to get their first win of the season. I got the Cardinals, sadly, to all you Niner fans, taking out the 49ers and getting their first win of the season. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to a couple division games. We got the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns. Of course, we all know the Cleveland Browns lost to the Raiders last week, 45-42. They are the underdogs by 3 points at home. The Ravens, after putting on an impressive showcase against your Steelers last week, Alan, winning the game 26-14 on Sunday Night Football. They're getting their rookie tight end Hayden Hurst back. Joe Flacco has been playing well. We don't know what the hell they're doing with Lamar Jackson, but they're trying to get him involved offensively. But hey, they're doing something right offensively because they put on a show last week against the Steelers, and I like them in this game by 3 points over the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, you know, as a Steeler fan, I had to root for the Ravens because in the position we're in, we play the Falcons this week. That scares the shit out of me because our defense is pure trash. But back to this main game, I choose the Ravens because, one, they haven't lost yet as far as I understand, right? They're undefeated.
3-1.
Oh, 3-1. Okay, well, still, John Brown, that guy can just – God, he's got burners. I honestly did not see these burners on the Cardinals. A lot of people that I talked to said that, you know, he's always been that way, but I don't know if it's Flacco using him in a certain way or he's just very happy in the Ravens. But I do have to root for the Ravens on this, and I do see the Ravens staying hot, staying with the hot hand of Joe Flacco, staying with Lamar Jackson, going for fucking 5 yards on a rushing. I don't know why. And I will see the Ravens win 21-12.
21-12. That's actually where my score is around. I got it about 24-14. Either way, the over-under in this game is set at 47. That's both of us hitting on the under right there. A tough AFC North, the gritty football, one of the toughest divisions in football. We'll see a close game, but ultimately, we got the Ravens minus 3 points, and we like the under in this game, minus 47. Let's keep it moving now to probably one of the biggest matchups of the week. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going into Kansas City to take on Showtime Mahomes, and one of the biggest stories in the league right now. Of course, we all know the Kansas City Chiefs are 4-0 after taking out the Broncos on Monday Night Football 27-23. They'll be taking on a 3-1 Jaguars team that beat the Jets last week 31-12. The Chiefs are favored by 3 points, and over-under is set at 48.5. Now, the Chiefs, probably one of the most prolific, if not one of the most high-scoring offenses in the league. It's between them and the Rams for me. The Jaguars, probably the most prolific point-preventing defenses in the league. You talk about one of the best defenses that we've seen what they did to Brady earlier this year. They've been winning all these games with no Leonard Fournette. He still won't be back this week. But TJ Yeldon has been going off. He's been playing like a baller. I think I might like the Jaguars on a sneaky pick plus 3 points this week. It's tough because the Chiefs are coming off a short week, Monday Night Football, and now they got to go against one of the top defenses in the league. Hell, I think Ben Roethlisberger is the only quarterback to throw for over 300 yards on this Jacksonville Jaguars defense in the past couple years. Pat Mahomes coming in with 3, 4, 5 straight 300-yard games. Does he do it again against Jalen Ramsey and his Jacksonville Jaguars out?
I think he does.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes has been showing himself. However, this will be the ultimate test of the season for him, playing against probably the best defense in the league. So, for me, I say yes because their defense is just good enough to stop Blake Bortles. Let's not forget, Blake Bortles ain't really a clutch quarterback. That's why I see it. I think Tyreek Hill's going to give Jalen Ramsey a taste of his own medicine. You know, he wants to talk shit about how he's always just a returner. But I think Tyreek Hill is going to make him fucking cry like a little bitch again.
He told Tyreek Hill, you only made the Pro Bowl as a return specialist, son. Get your wide receiver slot up. Hey, you like the Chiefs this week? I think I like the Jaguars for the upset. And get this, the Jaguars are favored by 3 points, the Chiefs being the favorite. The Kansas City Chiefs are 2-10 against the spread at home while facing an AFC South opponent since the start of the 2007 season. I don't know what the hell goes on when they play against teams in the AFC South, but hey, I'm putting my money on the Jaguars this weekend. I like them plus 3, and then when the point spread is set at 48.5, I'm expecting this Jaguars team to kind of shut down this offense, so I like the under. What about you? You think Mahomes, obviously with the Chiefs winning, you think they have a huge game, or they do just enough to beat Blake Bortles?
What was the over again?
48.5.
I do see the Chiefs putting up, at the most, 21 points. but I can't speak for Blake Bortles. I would have to take the under in this game.
Well, at least we're both there. We both got the under in this game. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to another game that I like the under in, the Tennessee Titans versus the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, they went back to being the Buffalo Bills last week. They ended up losing to the Packers 22-0, got straight shut out, had no chance at all, while the Tennessee Titans surprised a lot of people and beat the Eagles 26-23. They are favored again by 3.5 points this weekend. I like Marcus Mariota. He's looking like he's getting a little bit healthier. They still got to figure out what the hell they're doing with Derrick Henry, but they're playing the Buffalo Bills, probably one of the worst teams in the league. I don't got too much faith in the Bills. I like the Titans by 3 points, and I like the under on this game, minus 39.
I like it too. I mean, on behalf of me and Marcus, let us apologize for picking the Eagles, because the Eagles apparently can't shut out any games in the fourth quarter. So we apologize for that pick. Tennessee has proven themselves to be a worthy team, and their defense is still pretty solid. I liked what I saw against them. You know, they stopped Wentz in his tracks. Wentz was, you know, he had a decent game throughout the whole first, second, third quarter. And then the fourth quarter where it really mattered, that's when they stopped him. And I do not see Josh Allen doing absolutely nothing this week. I will take the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, we're taking the Tennessee Titans. This is the first time they have been the favorite this year, and we're sticking with them. We like the Tennessee Titans to beat the Bills. It's as simple as that. And let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup. We got the New York Giants going into Carolina and taking on Luke Kuechly, Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, and this phenomenal squad of the Carolina Panthers that are just stacked with talent on both sides of the ball. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Eli Manning this week. I think he's a little bit in trouble. Obviously, so does Vegas, giving the Panthers the favorite by 7 points over the Giants, who lost last week to the Saints, 33-18. Hell, we told you bet on the over. I think we still covered, but it was still scary. Get you with Eli going back and forth, not knowing if he's going to hit Odell Beckham. It seems like he can't get into the end zone this year. This Giants offense should be producing more than 18 points a game. They are the underdogs in this game. Over-under set at 44. I like Carolina in this game with 2 weeks to prepare to Eli. I think that's just too much time. Luke Kuechly is going to have a huge impact in this game. Probably pick off Eli a couple times. I'm looking for a pick six, take to the house. I like the Panthers in this one now.
I agree. I do like the Panthers as well. You cannot stop Christian McCaffrey in the receiving game. You know, this guy is just running routes like a normal receiver, and he's supposed to be a running back, but, you know, he's doing it well. I like my boy DJ Moore to get a tug, hopefully, but I do see a shootout in this game.
Yeah, it should be a high-scoring game. Greg Olsen was actually back in practice this week for the Carolina Panthers. He will not be playing this Sunday, but he is ahead of schedule, so that's a good thing for this offense. Hell, coming off a bye, I'm sure everybody's well-rested. Everybody's got the juice. I don't get why there's NFL bye weeks in week four of the season anyways, but get this. The Carolina Panthers are 3-0, both straight up and against the spread when coming off a bye since 2015. So let's go ahead and take those Carolina Panthers by 7 points over the New York Giants. Next up, we got a game that should be low-scoring, going from a high-scoring game to a low-scoring game. We got the Denver Broncos taking on the New York Jets. Sam Darnold will look for his second win of the season. Has been a little rough since that Monday night game. He did great after he threw the pick six, of course, everybody saw, but it has been three straight losses since. Jamal Adams came out after that first win and said, it's a different culture. The Jets are different. And then they've lost three straight games. But, hey, I think they get back on track this week playing the Denver Broncos, who lost on Monday Night Football 27-23. They put on a decent showing, but they just couldn't get it done with Case Keenum. Case Keenum looked like the Case Keenum I talked about all season long on the Raiders podcast, where I'm not too convinced Case Keenum can get you to the playoffs, let alone win enough games to get you there. I think the Broncos do not have any luck this weekend against his New York Jets defense that is pretty strong, to be honest. Jamal Adams, hell, he had a couple three and out series last week where he made all the tackles and tackles for a loss. Like I said, with the Chiefs coming off the short week, so are the Denver Broncos, and they got to fly all the way to New York. I don't like that. I talked about the Raiders flying to New York and how they got to go on the East Coast games. I like the Jets by 1.5 points against the Denver Broncos this week.
I got to disagree on this one. I watched that game, Broncos-Chiefs, and, you know, that was a good game. It was an intense, good game. And, you know, the Broncos, they caught up. They stayed with the Chiefs. So, you know, for them to not beat the Jets, you know, that would actually be surprising to me. You know, I'm not trying to say Keenum is a good quarterback. He's decent. But his weapons, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is still fucking pretty, you know, he's still pretty good on the route runs. They've got a nice little running back duo over there, fucking Freeman and Lindsey. So I like the Broncos by, what is it, +1.5 for the Broncos?
Yeah, it'll be +1.5 for the Broncos. Like you said, that backfield, they've been running the ball pretty well. I don't know what the hell happened in the fourth quarter in that game against the Chiefs. It looked like they just abandoned the run. They're bringing Devontae Booker in for a couple series. I don't know what the hell they were doing about that, but their coach said they wanted to get Royce Freeman a couple more carries this week against the Jets. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, though. The over-under set at 43. two pretty good defenses on this roster. Von Miller could give Sam Darnold a little bit of trouble, but like I said, it comes down for me. The Broncos on a short week and traveling to the East Coast. The Denver Broncos are 0-5 straight up and against the spread since the start of 2017 in games that have started at 1 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So for that reason alone, I like the Jets taking advantage of that short week and getting the win over the Broncos.
We will see.
We will see, my friend. That's exactly what it is. Agree to disagree. But let's go ahead and move on to the next one, because I know we're going to get a nice one served up for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast with our resident Steeler fan, Alan Flores. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Atlanta Falcons. The Steelers are favored by 3 points in this game, coming off a loss versus the Ravens 26-14. But hey, so are the Falcons, coming off a loss against the Bengals 37-36. If this doesn't spell a high-scoring game, I don't know what does. The over-under is set at 57.5. That's a goddamn lot of points, but I can see it happening. I can easily see both these offenses putting up 30 points, two of the most high-power offenses in the league. Alan, I know you're going to get all in about the Steelers, but then you talk about the Falcons, the things that Matt Ryan's doing, where he's thrown for over 300, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions in the past 2 games and lost both of them. He's the first quarterback to ever do that in NFL history. And then Julio Jones, he's on pace for over 2,000 yards this season. He's also on pace for 0 touchdowns, but that's all right because Calvin Ridley's catching all the touchdowns. I mean, this is a high-power offense that expects to get Devontae Freeman back this week. Ah, man, this is going to be a high-scoring game that honestly just could come down to who has the ball last. So I might like the Falcons and the points for that reason, but Alan, let me know your thoughts. Break down this whole Falcon-Steeler game for me.
Well, let me tell you, first, that 57.5, I could see it happening, but people, just be safe and don't touch that. You know, don't say over, don't say under, just don't touch it. I mean, come on. I understand our defense is completely, completely trash, but just save yourself. Now, with Devontae Freeman coming back, I am scared, you know. Tevin Coleman's questionable, but they're a rookie. He has been, you know, looking pretty nice too. And our defense cannot cover the middle, like I've always said, for shit. We're always letting one deep ball, at least one deep ball. And you know Julio Jones is going to get his. Calvin Ridley might get 2 tugs because we're all going to be on Julio Jones. But then we still have our offense, of course. And I don't think Falcons defense can really hack our wide receiver core. I think James Conner does get a good solid 100 yards. And a tug, but yeah, my defense scares me, boys. My defense scares me. I don't understand why we cannot get shit on track, but with the, like what Marcus said, with Matt Ryan doing the things he's doing, it's tough for me. But you know what? They're my boys, and I'm sticking with them. -3, let's go.
Okay. Not a surprise. We got the residential Steeler fan taking the Steelers, -3 points. Like you said, the only thing you really got to be worried about in this game is your defense, because the Falcons defense is one of the most beat up defenses in the league, with obviously Keanu Neal early in the season going to the IR. Deion Jones, he is on the IR. Most of their DVs are beat up and hurt. That's why I'm touching the over. I'm putting my hands all over it, Al. I know you said to stay away, but hell, 57.5. I think both these teams can put up 30 easily. The Falcons, one of the highest scoring teams in the league. The Steelers, obviously one of the highest scoring teams in the league. And then you both got no defense at all. I like the over in this game for sure. 57.5 points. I'll touch it. And then for my game pick, I'm ended up taking the Falcons +3. Like I said, it could just be whoever has the ball last. I'm going to protect myself with the points. I'll take the Falcons +3 over your Pittsburgh Steelers, Al.
You know, I don't blame you if you do. I don't blame you. But personally for me, I can't take it. I'm sorry. I can't take it, people.
Yeah, it should be a game for the ages this weekend. Two of the hottest quarterbacks in the league, two of the hottest offenses. Put up some points, people, and enjoy the show. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to what should be another high-scoring game. The Green Bay Packers are going into Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions. The Lions lost a close game last week, 26-24, but hey, they covered that 3-point spread and still won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. They are the home underdogs this week by 1.5 points. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is favored on the road. He has had some road struggles in the past, but the man is hot right now. Put up a spanking last week on the Buffalo Bills, 22-0. Yes, we all know the Buffalo Bills. They are the Buffalo Bills in return to being the Buffalo Bills last week. But I expect Aaron Rodgers to do the same thing against the Detroit Lions defense. They do have Darius Slay, who should probably lock up whoever is going to be healthy enough to be the number one wide receiver for the Packers, because no Randall Cobb. He's already rolled out. Davante Adams is dealing with an ankle sprain. Hell, it could just be Jimmy Graham over the middle. If I'm Matt Patricia, I'm taking the key out of a book, out of teams who played against the Patriots, and put my best best corner on Gronk. Why not take out Jimmy? That'd be my strategy in this game, but I still like the Green Bay Packers getting a little bit healthier in that running back backfield. They could put up some points. The Detroit Lions are going to put up plenty of points too. Matthew Stafford is playing hot with Golden Tate. You saw all the receptions he had last week. They still got Marvin Jones, and then you talk about Kenny Galladay breaking out this year, and they still got Kerryon Johnson in the backfield. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I like the over. This is another game up there at the 51-point over. I'll take the Packers minus 1.5 points and hit the over at 51.
Yeah, you know, I got to say this game is kind of sketchy with due to all the injuries that Green Bay Packers have been suffering, and who knows how many fucking personal fouls Clay Matthews is going to get on some roughing the passers, so we'll see how much that fucks up the game. But you also got to trust Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers can get it done with damn near anybody. The motherfucker does it with a goddamn fucking, I mean, I don't know. Shit, he'll do it with anybody. However, these games with Detroit Lions, they're either whooping the Detroit Lions' ass or it's just an intense game. However, this is a 1.5 point. I'll take the Packers because you trust A-Rod over Stafford no matter what kind of weapon Stafford has, because Stafford is known to be a choker as well.
Yes, Stafford has actually had a few fourth quarter comebacks. He's actually up there with Derek Carr for most in the league since 2016, but it seems like if he gets down early, he kind of gives up in games late. He doesn't really have the drive to come back. It's always just back and forth, back and forth, so it might come down to whoever has the ball last, and I like the Packers. If it's only minus 1.5 points, a field goal wins you the game, wins you some money. So let's go ahead and take the Packers this week, minus 1.5 points, and then we'll keep it moving. Next, we got the Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Miami Dolphins. The Bengals had one hell of a performance last week, beating the Atlanta Falcons 37-36. You want to talk about an offensive shootout? We told you to take the over, and they hit the over easily. Both teams putting up over 30 points. The over is set at 50.5 this game. I don't think the Dolphins will hit that with the Bengals. They're not the Falcons. These are not the same two offenses putting up these points. We all saw the Miami Dolphins. They got put in their place by their papa last week, Tom Brady and the Patriots. They ended up losing 38-7 and went back to the bottom of the AFC. Hell, I don't think they have anything to say for the Cincinnati Bengals. Their defense has been playing decent, or at least their run defense. They should be getting a couple key defenders back with Rashard Jones, their all-pro safety. But hey, the Cincinnati Bengals are getting a few weapons back themselves. They're getting Joe Mixon back this weekend, and they're getting Vontaze Burfict, the monster of their defense. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals are able to hold these Dolphins under 50 points total, and I like the Bengals minus 6 points this week against the Dolphins.
I think it's really funny how the Dolphins, like, out of all teams to put the Dolphins back in their place had to be the fucking Patriots. Like, god damn it, couldn't have been anybody else. It would have been more exciting. But you know what? We did see the Dolphins on who they really are, and we've seen that it could have been a fluke these last few games. Bengals are looking hot right now. As a person who knows the AFC North, I know that the Bengals are pretty hot. Doing better than us, for god's sake. Who knew that would have fucking happened? However, you know, these injuries has been killing the Bengals as well. Yes, they're getting Joe Mixon, but they're also missing Giovanni Bernard, possibly missing him. Mm-hmm. That could hurt them. But at the same time, I'm not going to trust Tannehill against the Bengals. I trust the Bengals to put up 30, but I don't even trust the Dolphins to even put up 17. I got this game going 28-3.
Yeah, we got it on the under, and that's straight from the man who knows everything about the AFC North. And get this, the Miami Dolphins are 1-7 against the spread when facing an AFC North opponent since the start of 2014. Hey, some divisions just got some teams numbered, and the Dolphins can't fuck with the AFC North. So let's go ahead and keep on moving to see who can't fuck with who, because we got another division matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. The Seahawks had a big win this past weekend versus the Cardinals 20-17. They also had a big loss because they lost Earl Thomas. You want to talk about the non-existent Legion of Boom anymore? We talked about it before. They only had 3 people left. Now they're down to 2. Well, hell, they ain't got nobody healthy. Still got to wait for Bobby Wagner to come back. So basically, the Seattle Seahawks defense is non-existent, and then going against a team like the Los Angeles Rams, who, like I said, are right up there to number 1 or 2 offenses in this league. They put on an incredible performance on Thursday Night Football, beating the Vikings 38-31. I don't know what the hell's happened to this Vikings defense. I guess they got exposed in the playoffs, and now everybody's just got the secrets to beat them. It's going to be interesting to see how they put all the pieces together against the Seattle Seahawks defense, but there is no defense. They're favored by 7 points against this Rams team. The over-under set at 50. I think they might put up half those points. Russell Wilson's known to put up a few points, but this Rams defense been locked down this year. I like the Rams in this game to win by 7 points. It's kind of a big number, but it doesn't scare me at all because the Rams won by 35 points last year in Seattle. So I got no doubts about it. I like the Rams minus 7.
I will not be surprised if the Rams do not lose a game this season. That's how hot they are. I mean, no one had faith in Jared Goff, but look at him now. No one had faith in Gurley, but look at him now. Robert Woods, No one really knew who he was. He was decent on the Buffalo Bills. But look at him now. This team is on a roll. And there's no way in hell that this broken down defense, non-talent on the offensive line having Seahawks, is going to win this game, especially by this spread. I'm surprised this spread is not even more than 7. I am so excited that it's 7. I just might take it as one of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely one of our favorite bets of the week. I for sure thought this was going to be a double-digit point spread. But, hey, one touchdown, that's all the Rams got to beat the Seahawks by. I know it's the 12th man up there in Seattle, but they're going to need the 13th man, the 14th man, and the 15th man to try to beat the Rams this week, and I just don't see it happening. Like I said, they beat them by 35 points just last December, so I like the Rams in this game. Hell, we both like the Rams in this game by 7 points. Let's go ahead and move on to probably one of our biggest matchups of the week. I talked about the Vikings got exposed in the playoffs. Guess what? They got another chance against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. The Eagles, hell, what's going on with them? They're supposed to be the defending Super Bowl champions. They lost to the Tennessee Titans last week 26-23. Well, we all know what happened to the Vikings. They also lost to the Rams. We just got done talking about it. This is a game that's going to be very close. The over-under is set at 44. These should be two of the better defenses in the NFC, but they're not playing like it, so it's interesting to see. I might have to take the under for that because if both the defenses are struggling, hell, maybe they get back on track against each other. The Vikings are the road underdog by 3 points. Ah, man, this is a close one. I just don't know who to take. Carson Wentz doesn't look like he's fully healthy. He doesn't look like he's fully back. Kirk Cousins has showed flashes of greatness, and then he's shown flashes of why they kept on franchise tagging him and they wouldn't give a contract with the Redskins. The Vikings getting Dalvin Cook back this week. I think this might be the week they get back on track. Hell, I think this might be one of those games where it's just whoever has the ball last. It could be decided by a field goal, so I might just have to try to protect myself with the Vikings plus 3 points.
You know, personally, for me, I wouldn't even touch this game. You know, yeah, like you said, this is really hard, but, you know, there's a lot of people on this earth, and I'm pretty sure a good amount of them are still going to take this game, so I will still give you my advice. I will take Vikings plus 3. You know, I should have known that this defense on paper for the Eagles, like, was just going to be so good, and they just weren't going to prove it on the field, because they really haven't. The Vikings is very surprising. This defense has been on it the past couple of seasons. And then all of a sudden, they shit on themselves. But I see them coming back. I see them really motivated to get some wins. You can't trust the Eagles. The way they just lost that shit to the Titans. I would never pick the Eagles again. That is just so fucked up. And, you know, call it petty, whatever you want. But personally, I think the Vikings do come back. They should be winning this game. And I do love the over on 44. This is going to be a shootout.
Okay, we got a shootout projected. Hell, I guess if there's one thing to take away from last week against the Vikings, they did put up 31 points against his Rams defense, and they got an extra 3 days rest. I mean, that helps them out, right? So why not take the Vikings plus 3 in this game? Hell, it should be a shootout like Alan said, but it should be a close one. It could all come down to whoever has the ball last. So I'm taking Vikings and those plus 3 points. Moving on to our next and final matchups of the week. We got Sunday Night Football, the battle for West Texas. The Dallas Cowboys are going into Houston to take on the Texans. The Texans squeaked out a win last week, 37-34 in overtime. I don't know what the hell the Colts are doing in overtime, but they just wanted to give that game away to the Texans, not putting the ball, going for it on fourth down in their own territory. But that's a whole other story for another day. While the Cowboys were actually able to pull off a win last week against the Detroit Lions, they didn't cover the spread, but we told you to take the Lions, so that ain't got shit to do with us. The Cowboys are the road dogs this weekend. Texans are favored by 3 points. Deshaun Watson, it looked like in the second half of the game, finally got things going. Will Fuller has been dealing with some hamstring injuries, but he should be back playing this week. DeAndre Hopkins, they got the weapons. J.J. Watt is right up there with Khalil Mack, over 5 sacks this season. He's been playing well. And Jadeveon Clowney was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week last year. So this team has the talent. This was my pick to win the AFC South this year. They just got to put it all together. They're a lot better than their 1-3 record. So I think they get it done at home against the Cowboys, favored by 3 points. What about you, Al?
I think you get it done, too. I mean, come on. I'm not going to pick no Dallas Cowboys. You can never trust them. I'm always going to say that. And for the defense, on the Texans defense, they're taking a little while to click. You know, like you said, on paper, they look really fucking good. You got the Honey Badger. How could you be bad without the Honey Badger when you got Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt on both sides of the line? This should be a no-brainer. They should be taking out Dallas. Wack Prescott cannot get his done. I do not see Ezekiel Elliott getting 152 yards again. That was some bullshit. I called bullshit on that last week. But hey, what are you going to do? That's last week. This is this week. We taking the Texans, baby.
Yeah, I think the Dallas Cowboys' only hope is Zeke has a big week. They control the time of possession and keep Deshaun Watson and all these high play wide receivers off the field. I know Byron Jones has been playing decent at corner this year, but this defense overall, still without Sean Lee in this matchup, I think they're going to get exposed over the middle with all this team speed that the Texans have. And you heard it from Al. We both like the Texans to win the Battle of West Texas by 3 points this weekend over Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. And then let's go to Monday Night Football, where we get the Maroon Messiah going into New Orleans to take on Drew Brees, where I think Drew Brees has like a chance to become the record for most passing yards ever. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised. Drew Brees has been phenomenal throughout his whole entire career. I'm just glad he got traded from the Chargers and wasn't this good when he was still on the Chargers, and he's doing this all in the NFC South with the Saints. They won last weekend against the Giants 33-18. They are now 3-1 on the year. The Redskins came off a bye this week. That's 2 weeks to prepare for New Orleans, but 2 weeks, and they still don't know who's healthy. Adrian Peterson dealing with a little bit of an ankle sprain. He should be healthy, though. Josh Norman dealing with a little bit of an ankle sprain. They said he should be healthy, though. But still, these little injuries could always tweak during the game. We've seen with Leonard Fournette, he's healthy, comes back for a play, gets hurt with his hamstring. We've seen all these nagging injuries throughout the year. The Redskins did have 2 weeks to prepare for the New Orleans Saints, but the Saints are still favored by 6.5 points. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Alex Smith is going to have to try to score. He can't be a game manager in this game. He's got to try to put up points to try to beat Drew Brees and his Saints. But at the end of the day, I think this New Orleans Saints offense is just too high power. Alvin Kamara, he's on pace for like over 1,000 yards receiving and rushing. This man is a monster this year. He cannot be stopped. And I believe they get Mark Ingram back this week. He's off his steroid for the PEDs. So look for Mark Thomas to get some goal line carries. But this backfield is dynamic. And then you talk about Drew Brees. And then you talk about their backup quarterback who comes in as a kick returner, as a defensive end. I mean, this guy does it all. The Saints, high-scoring team, high-powered offense. We got questions about their defense, but at the end of the day, I think they get the job done against the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football by 6.5 points.
I agree. I mean, the Saints are rolling right now, you know, and you can't trust Alex Smith in this game management, like you said, but we can't forget about this Saints defense. Saints defense is looking still iffy. You know, Alex Smith may not throw the deep ball, but he could game manage enough, but I still take the Saints because I still see Michael Thomas catching 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, Drew Brees with 400 yards, and I see this game going definitely over 52 points because the Saints alone can get 30, and I can see Alex Smith getting 28.
Yeah, Alex Smith is probably going to be playing catch-up this whole entire game. That's not a good game script, even if Adrian Peterson is healthy. I'm sure Christian Thompson is going to be catching balls left and right out of the backfield. Jordan Reed's going to need to have a big game. But I'm with Alan right there with you. I think this might be another 50-point game where it goes over that 52-point spread. And get this, the Washington Redskins have hit the over 6 straight games, or 6-0 in games against teams that have averaged 27 points or more per game since the start of 2016. So that means they're going to be playing catch-up. That means Jay Gruden, because, hell, it looks like Jay Gruden could put up some points. I don't know if the Gruden philosophy works in the NFL. Sean McVay, John Gruden, 2 top 5 offenses in the league. But sorry, I'm getting more into my Raider podcast stuff there. But back to this game, I think the Saints get the job done. They cover the over, and get this, the Saints are 9-1 against the spread in October home games since the start of 2012. And I got one more for you. The Redskins have lost their last 4 Monday night games by 9 or more points since the start of 2016. So I think they lose again by 9 points. They lose to the Saints by 6.5, and that is every game from week 5 of the 2018 NFL schedule right here on the Straight Cash Podcast on the Bay's Golden Days Network, baby.
Let's go, Steelers, baby. Let's take this win at home. Let's fuck these Falcons up, and let's see Weck Prescott lose to the Texans, and let's see the Raiders get their win against the Chokers.
The Raiders with the home game down in Los Angeles. That's right. The Raiders taking over L.A., taking back what's theirs, taking back what's right. The Raiders should be in L.A. Send the Chargers to Las Vegas. The Raiders got to take it. But, hey, like I said, if you want to hear my whole Raiders rant, go download the Raiders Recap podcast from this past week for our first win of the season, beating the Browns, and our second win coming up against the Chargers. Hell, Niners, sorry we didn't pick against you this week, but hey, we got to keep it real right here on the Straight Cash Podcast. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. You can also download anywhere you get a podcast. They got so many different options these days. Hell, you could probably find it on the dark web, look it up on YouTube. You can find it wherever you need it to. Pay $5. I'm sure a homeless man can find it for you. We got it all right here for you on the Bay's Golden Days. You can check us out online, social media, at Bay's Golden Days. We got it all. BGDSports.com. Hell, we got too much stuff going on. We got the Raiders recap. We got the Straight Cash podcast. And then we got UFC 229.
Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. Don't forget to go listen to the preview before the biggest fight in MMA history this weekend. Oh, man, we got everything coming to you right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network, baby. And we're going to get you some money so that it's the Bay's Golden Days for everybody, Al. See ya!
Straight cash, homie.
Hold it. Stay gold, pony boy. Stay.